This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Mike and I started out today talking about Atlanta being champions. What are we champions of again?
The TGL.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tomorrow's Golf League. And a couple guys hit us up on the text line, a couple guys on Twitter saying, hey, man, based on it being golf, why don't we have it a parade in Peachtree City? Mm. We can all line up the golf carts, which, by the way, I don't have because I live in Sharpsburg, and I am actually, Carl, literally 0.6 miles away from where the cart path starts.
Yeah.
That I could then drive to Tyrone and then down to Peachtree City. So unfortunately for me, I want to get one really bad, and you can get a good used golf cart at a decent rate, and then I would put a big three on the side and, you know, tribute to Earnhardt.
Well, Bo has that, I think.
Does he have a three on the side?
I don't know if he has a three on the side. I'm just joking.
I mean, he should.
But he does.
I really would love to have one. All my buddies, when we go down and we play golf in Brandon, and everybody's got the golf cart. But that's the idea. That's where we should have the parade.
Yeah. Well, look, there's a variety of places that I think people will be receptive to potentially enjoying the idea of us being golf champions of this particular league. Look, Atlanta's a great golf city. There's great golf all over the place. But with that said, I don't think there is going to be a parade. I just think this is a big, hey, we won, and we heard Arthur Blank talk about it. And look, the gist of this was we've got an owner, okay? He's involved in Atlanta United. They won a chip. He gets involved in this, they won a chip. He's trying to win a chip in the NFL. He's trying. Trust me. He's doing everything he possibly can to make it happen. But, you know, Arthur Blank has done the things necessary for these teams to be competitive. He did it with Atlanta United. Guys, when you come into a league and you spend more money than anybody else,
right?
And again, Darren Hills and company had a great vision for the kind of players and the coach that they wanted to go get and the manager, and they did that. But the fact is you needed ownership, Mike, to do what he did, and look at what Atlanta United has become. So I said to you, I don't know if this grows, this TGL thing, but it's nice to see that, you know, in its inaugural season that we host the championship.
There have been a lot of articles written about it, you know, since it started, and I know that you've heard Andy Randy talking to a bunch of guys. Billy Horschel's been on a number of times. I just think in next year's version, ESPN has got to tweak it. Because, you know, just like anything else, there's a first time, and you don't know really how to present it. Maybe you edit it for television. You know, the way you watch drag racing and stuff like that, they don't show you all the heats, just move it along. But I do think you package it to like 90 minutes, you know, 2 hours, which is generally what it is. But it's just, like, for instance, is it fun? Are we going to keep it loose? Is it serious? The announcers, I think it's sometimes, it's just been, you know, is it Matthew Brady? Who's the guy that does the college football final? Matthew Berry. Thanks, Chris. Matthew Berry. And sometimes, like, the tone, it's just, they don't know how to present it just right. I mean, I think you should have, You know, have somebody find. This is, you know, what it's tailor made for, unfortunately. It's David Faraday.
Mm.
But he's over there with the Liv guys, and I don't think that jives, needless to say.
You know what? I didn't even realize that. I hadn't seen David Faraday. Now I forgot.
He's in the Where Is He Now file.
He is.
One of the truly, you know, fascinating, fun guys to listen to. He was always entertaining. And yeah, he's stuck on a broadcast that nobody watches.
Yeah, that's a great point. 404-726-0929. More to get to, guys, coming up. We're going to get to our fourth and one segment. Mm-hmm. And we'll certainly talk more about the Braves, as a lot of folks, right, the prognosticators believe that, listen, we won 89 games last year with all those injuries.
Right.
This will be a 95 or more win team this year. And we have good odds to go to the World Series. We're going to get into that as well. I want to remind you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is Atlanta's home for the NCAA Basketball Championship. Join us for complete play-by-play coverage all the way through the National Championship game on April 7th. It's brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration, Atlanta's simple one-day hair loss solution. And by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get three free, and by the Georgia Hemp Company. Come check out the brand new locations. That's the NCAA tournament continuing through April 7th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We were talking with Tony just real quick. A couple guys hit us up on the text line. A couple guys on Twitter. Cleet hits us up. He listens to us every day. Thanks, Cleet. And I asked Tony about a salary cap, and he said, look, if we ever get to that, it's basically you're going to lose baseball for a year, maybe more. And then you talked about it off the air with me, about a work stoppage.
Yeah.
The problem is, as Tony brought up, is if you get a salary cap, and I agree with him, there's no guarantee that the teams which basically become the farm systems for the, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox or us, like the A's or the Pirates, there's no guarantee that their cheapskate owners are actually going to spend. See, the NFL guys, and Carl, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it like 89% you have to spend to?
Up to.
You have to spend the minimum of your salary cap. And that's the thing with baseball. And I brought this up because of the way the Dodgers thing has just become so ridiculous. And now you got basically five teams in baseball spending 70 to 85% of the entire payroll.
But to your point, it's why the NFL is competitive. You cannot not spend up to a certain amount. Right, it's not as if, okay, I own the Seattle Seahawks, and Mike, we're only going to spend salary caps on $210 million. We're only going to spend $60 million this year. You can't do that.
And that's always been my argument about it. I mean, yes, I get it. The Pirates owners are cheap, and yes, you may have to get a new group of owners in, and it's a two-way street. The owners in baseball is cheap as the day is long, some of them. But the point being, I'll wrap it up, is you can see an Indianapolis win a Super Bowl. A New Orleans, one of the smallest markets in the country, can win a Super Bowl. You know, and unfortunately, the only time a Tampa can do it is when their farm system really hits. And then after that, they're back to, like, where are they now?
Yeah, no doubt. More to get to here on the show, guys. Coming up, as we mentioned, Joe Patrick's going to join us. Also, John Smoltz is on the way. Lots more baseball as we get ready for opening day tomorrow as the Braves take on the Padres. Go check out that interview with our buddy Tony Gwynn Jr. Right now, though, let's get to 4th and 1. Let's talk about what happened yesterday. Late in the show, we were literally talking about what the odds were of Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh, and then boom, the news hit that Russell Wilson is going to the Giants. It's a one-year deal. It's basically $10.5 million, but with all the incentives, he could earn up to $21 million. But Mike, he joins a team that has already signed Jameis Winston. They still have Tommy DeVito there.
Oh!
Yeah, exactly. And Winston, 36, listen, Wilson, that is, has a lot of stuff that he's been able to accomplish in the NFL. 10 Pro Bowls, a Super Bowl. But you said it. 3 teams in 3 years? It's like, what are you truly getting? And I feel like this is desperate by him because he knows the Giants aren't going anywhere right now. Look, right. You can tell me and be all the positive, you know,
toxic positivity.
Thank you. All you want. But they're not going anywhere. So he was traded from the Seahawks to the Broncos, didn't work with the Broncos, goes to the Steelers. They benched Justin Fields for him, didn't go anywhere, guys. They lost their last 5 games, and now he ends up with the Giants. I don't think this is going anywhere soon, and I think this is the demise, to be honest with you, Mike, because if they draft Shedeur Sanders, it's not going to matter.
No, and I do think that, you know, a lot of folks are saying, well, you know, how does this affect the rest of the draft? Paul Schwartz, may the Schwartz be with you.
Schwartz.
He's the New York Post writer, covers the Giants every day, and he says the Giants are still going to go quarterback. So even though, to your point, you did get Jameis in there and you got Russell, that's just, they're still But you have to love Shedeur Sanders. That's the thing. Because there will be, you could argue, more quarterbacks in next year's draft. You know, you have no idea where you're going to fall. Safe to say the Giants will be in that final quarter of the NFL draft because they're not that good. They're not going to be good next year.
If I'm the Giants, to your point, I ride this out and I make my team better. I get go offensive line. I go defensive line, right. Mike. I make my team internally
take
better.
Take the best friggin' athlete, you know. And if Travis Hunter's there, you take him in a heartbeat.
Take him. And then, as I build my team, and I just ride this out with both of these guys, because, listen, Jameis has been a starter. You know what Russ has done. But then as you get into next season, to your point, or next offseason, I think they're still going to be a top 10 pick. They'll have a top 10 pick next year. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's hear from J.J. McCarthy, who answered this question about being told he was the starter, or is he the starter? What's the deal in Minnesota?
They haven't told me, and I'm happy they didn't, because I try to earn it every single day, and I never want that to be given to me, and it's such a privilege and opportunity to give me that chance, and I'm just going to make the most of it every single day.
Okay. Should they tell him he's a starter, or are they waiting on something else? Listen, is it crazy for us to think that maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't go to Pittsburgh and he goes to Minnesota?
Yeah, the J.J. McCarthy thing is strange. I mean, they said they fell in love with him. And this one, we get in that old debate about it, if you just went with Penix, could you have had him without having to move up? And I still think we could have, because Minnesota was pretty much linked to J.J. McCarthy from, like, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before the draft, going back to the combine. I just felt that he's their guy. He looked great in preseason. There was even talk he was ready to start week one. Right? And then he gets hurt.
Right.
I think Chris, did he throw 3 touchdowns in a preseason game and then he gets hurt the next week? So now they're saying, well, he's put on some weight. And he's apparently likes banana splits and Sundays when he's not playing football. So, and it's not so subtle.
Is he doughy?
Cam Ward was described as doughy by the dreaded unnamed NFL insider yesterday.
Doughy.
So I don't know if JJ's doughy. I was never that impressed with JJ. You know, some would say small window opportunity to throw on a team that runs the ball so well as Michigan did 2 years ago, but whatever. But yeah, it's kind of sending mixed messages about their boy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if you drafted him, you felt good about him last year, he's coming off this injury, you solidify this and tell him he's our starter and you go get a backup. But they haven't, at least he says, they haven't told him. Meanwhile, right. While we're talking about Shedeur Sanders, let's hear Tim Hasselbeck, Mike, talk about Sanders, and he makes a comparison to Kirk Cousins. Listen to this.
If he's as good as Kirk Cousins, it's the right pick. That might sound crazy because Kirk Cousins was a fourth round pick. But Kirk Cousins, like, played winning football, stabilized the quarterback position, and the stops where he's been. So, look, if Washington would have done the right thing and given him the deal he deserved early on, they'd have been better for it. So, look, Mike T is saying...
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, his comp is Kirk Cousins. Again, and I hate, I'm not trying to, like, and I hate to say this, like, in some ways, because I think people are going to read it the wrong way. Like, I actually think the comp is Andy Dalton.
Okay. Well, decent career.
Yeah, but wait a minute. He didn't solidify the quarterback position here. I mean... He had a few good games. Let's not fool ourselves. I think when I hear this from Tim Hasselbeck, it's almost like he's defending Cousins and his career by making this comparison, like, if Shedeur Sanders is this guy. Listen, Kirk Cousins has won a lot of games in his career. There's no debating that. But I don't know if that's my comp. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You're saying, okay, if he can come in, stabilize the position, not make mistakes. Not last year's Kirk. But not make mistakes and you know, lead your team to 10 or 11 wins potentially every year, then you got the right guy. I don't know if I'm comparing Shedeur Sanders and his makeup to Kirk Cousins, but I get where he's going with that. It is a little bit, I think, misleading, like he said. When you hear that, I'm like, huh?
Yeah, I don't. By the way, do you want to be compared to the Red Rifle?
No.
Good start to his career, and then again, but that was just how mediocre those Bengals teams were.
He was never a franchise guy.
No.
He just never was a franchise guy. And in his role as a backup now and, you know, the last 5 years of his career, whatever it's been, he's been good at that, Mike. I mean, he did good for Carolina. He was never a guy that you could put the team on his shoulders and do, let's just say, what Joe Burrow's doing right now. It's not even close. Burrow is legitimately a franchise quarterback. Andy Dalton never looked that way and never felt that way.
Yeah, there's not that many quarterbacks that, I mean, again, if Jackson Dart, see, are you projecting your needs, and now all of a sudden it's, Jackson Dart just, he checks all the boxes? He checks a couple of the boxes. Not sold on that. But you're right. You know, the diamond in the rough. This could, I mean, you and I, for instance, love Jalen Hurts coming out of college. I thought he'd be the good pick. And I was, you know, I figured that there was some the grade on him was anywhere second to third round. Remember, it was even considered a third round for Hurts. But the Eagles, they scouted, they believed in what they got, and they obviously got the results. There's certain guys out there. We said the same thing about Deshaun Watson. We said that guy's a winner until he wasn't. Obviously, the injuries and now the wheels fell off. But the guys like the Mitchell Trubisky's of the world, they just fall in love with the physicality or the physical traits. It's like, what did you ever win in college?
Yeah. The thing I loved about Jalen Hurts was his demeanor. When all that crap happened at Alabama, he never changed.
And then he goes
to Oklahoma and takes them to the college football playoff.
Right.
His demeanor told you a lot. Unlike a guy like, Spencer Rattler,
right,
who, you know, leaves Oklahoma and then goes inside. Like, you're like, okay, what's the deal? It wasn't the same. And now Jalen's a champion. But, Mike, that was the thing that I think impressed me the most about him is he never was too high, too low,
right,
and you see that.
And that's the thing with Baker. Baker had to learn how to get his esh together.
Correct.
And not lose his marbles, and now he's a stud.
By the way, Mike Tannenbaum has the Browns not taking a quarterback at 2. He thinks they're going to take somebody else because they're going to trade for Kirk Cousins.
All right.
Please
come and trade for him. Please, but do it before the draft. Do it during the draft. Please trade for Kirk so we get something out of it this year.
Hey, man, what about the Braves? Are we projected to win 90-plus games as we get ready for the start of the season tomorrow? We'll talk about it coming up. This hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Coming up, yeah, man, no man. Also, we will let you hear more of Kirby Smart. He had a lot to say, by the way, addressing the media, talking about spring football, and also talking about the driving incidents that have happened. We'll let you hear all of that coming up at around 4 o'clock today. Mike, you just asked me something. I want to give this information out before we get into it because it is interesting. Look, I think when you look at our team, I'm talking about the Braves, the projection is 95-96 wins. We got 90% chance of making the playoffs this year, okay, based on, again, all these projections. And nobody can project health, just like last year. But this is based on, hey, if everything goes right, based on what we know about this team and the makeup of the team. And they also give us a 14% chance of getting to the World Series, which I think is pretty good. But this all gets back to the return of Ronald Acuña. And again, I say this,
right,
another 100 RBI, another 30-plus home runs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to steal as many bases this year.
Okay? I think that's a realistic expectation,
just
based on the nature of the injury.
But he is going to produce at the plate where you talk about runs scored. This is another facet. Then you add Spencer Strider into the starting rotation, which has got to be huge. So that's the caveat. But we had a nightmare season coming off 89 wins. I want you guys to think about all the guys that were hurt, and
right,
we still won 89 games. So it's going to be different. But you just asked me a question, so go ahead and ask me.
When is Ronald Acuña going to play? Because the Braves and Alex Anthopoulos will be out with John Fricke tonight. Catch that. But I know that we've heard stake, and we've tried to get it out of him. They're kind of cryptic. You know, you've never really locked it down with specifics about when we're actually going to see Ronald Acuña starting for the Braves.
I got boss, you know.
Yes.
So, I mean,
yes.
You got any insight from your peeps on this deal?
So I said this to Mike, and I'll say it to you guys. I'm not going to tell you I'm overly concerned, but I think it's going to be longer than what we anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought was, listen, have him be in there as a DH every now and then. Work him in.
Right.
That's Marcell Ozuna. And I don't think that's going to happen to allow Acuña to get at bats. So the question is, are we talking 2 weeks from now, from tomorrow, or are we talking a month from tomorrow?
Mm.
Mike, I think we're talking more about another potential 25, 30 days.
What?
That's a long time.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you've listened to everything that's been written,
it's a long time.
If you read Grant and you read and you listen to what David O'Brien writes or Mark Bowman, it's like May. May-ish. You know, hopefully later. That's the thing. I mean, you know that Strider, as soon as you saw him, just looked like he was ready for the regular season. Everyone's like, well, the hell with the rehab
Let's go.
But yeah. They got a plan, so at least sounds like at least two trips to Gwinnett.
To your point, and I think a lot of Braves fans, you're hearing us say this, and you're going, all right, what's that mean? It doesn't mean that he's more injured than they're leading on. It simply means they're going to be cautious with him. Here's the Braves thinking about this. I don't like it. I know you don't, Mike. Hmm. But we need Acuna more in August and September than we do in April and May. So if it means another month before we actually get him back out there and he's producing, because it still may take a little time. We don't know he's going to come back immediately red hot. I hope he does.
Right.
But that's how they're thinking about it. But it is concerning just a little bit. And I don't want to get too crazy, but I was like, is everything all right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a realistic, we're not being alarmist. It's a realistic question. When are we going to see Acuna? So Jerickson Profar, if he hits it, and Tony Gwynn thinks he's going to be a guy that's going to stay where he was last year at 2-8. It took him a while to get to where he finally gets a little bit of a payday, but he believes in him, and he covered him in San Diego. And then, the other pieces you added for Dugo, along with, you know, what we got with Kelnick. So serviceable. Money Harris needs to hit the ground running. One thing for certain, I think, and we didn't really mention him so far, but everybody else in the lineup, Austin Riley looks like he's okay. He's worked some things out. Olsen is struggling, though. Olsen did hit a home run yesterday, but he's sub 200 for spring. Does that concern you?
Unless maybe get the
crap out of the way now and hit the ground running.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not as concerning as maybe if this was Sean Murphy, because I would be distraught if it was Murphy who was hitting like that. I think Olsen's,
well, he was before he got hurt.
Drake Baldwin's about to step in there and be a dude.
Ozuna looks good, too, by the way. Ozuna's had a good spring.
He does, man. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't want to take at-bats away from your DHs. Ozuna could put up the similar numbers he put up last year. But, you know, when we talk about the NL East, guys, I think this could be the most interesting race of any. I know we think about the Phillies and the Mets and us. Don't count the Marlins out either. I mean, they're not going to win the division, but you got to take advantage of the situation with the Marlins every time you get a chance to play them. But the Nationals, Mike, they're on their way back. I mean, I think they're going to take a step forward this year. The Phillies won 95 games last year. Again, we won 89, and under the circumstances where we had, you know, all the injuries and Chris Sale and Cy Young, I'm just saying this division is going to be tough once the Mets get healthy. They've got two starting pitchers that are hurt. Their catcher's injured. But if, in fact, let's just fast forward to your point about Acuna, a month from now, and the Mets hopefully get their guys back, and I say that for their fans, Mike, this thing's going to get really interesting, and it's going to be a dogfight at the end.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of the Mets, nothing to do with injuries or anything, but you see A.J. Minter shaved his noggin?
He did?
Yeah, you see that, Chris? He's kind of got like a Mr. Clean look going this year.
I didn't see it, no. Yeah. Is there any reason? Did he say?
I know when I was standing, I went bald. He shaved it. I don't know.
I didn't see that.
His own personal style. But, yeah, the Mets have got a lot of injuries. I'm reading the Mets website right now. So, yeah, it'll be curious to see how much they weather that storm like the Braves had to last year before everybody gets healthy.
Yeah, that's the issue for them. Marlins, again, 20 games. You know, they were 71-91 last year. They're not going to be as good, I don't believe. But, you know, they still probably have one of, if not the best pitchers in the league. And I think he's going to get traded.
Where is
Ronald Acuna? that's a very smooth segue.
I'm a little bit worried, but I don't want to be overly concerned. I just feel like that seems like a long time. You had all offseason, you had all spring, and now you're telling us you really don't have a date and there's a time, and then maybe it's another 30 days. Come on.
Where is
Ronald Acuna? Yeah, it's funny. We brought you behind the curtain. We were just talking about, you haven't had any specificity about the, when the Ronald Acuna gets out there. So it's a bit of a concern for me, but Tony Gwynn still loves our team. We talked about that earlier. We'll hear what John Smoltz has to say coming up at the 6 o'clock hour.
All right. I want to address this real quick because we got Yeah Man coming up. Mike was talking about this when he came in today, and it was kind of interesting only from the standpoint of when people, and first of all, it's the internet, so it has to be true. People put crazy stuff out there all the time, right? And there was, there was somebody, Chris is talking about, he's going to address this even more in Yeah Man. But there was a gentleman who was talking about this potential trade. And I just want to say, Jane Slater, who covers the NFL, she does a terrific job, has thrown cold water on this, and rightfully so. First of all, if you just pay attention generally to the NFL, you know there's a financial element to every deal that is done. Dak Prescott is making $60 million. And the idea was the Browns were looking to trade for Dak Prescott. And Jane Slater basically says, Mike, this is fake news. There's nothing true about this. The Cowboys are not working on a trade for Dak Prescott. This is absolutely not true. And this guy was getting traction from this comment.
Yeah, Chris, do you know what this guy is? I guess he's an old timer. I mean, he looks like he's a guy who's been around Cleveland, but the information is erroneous.
So I have done my crack investigative reporting. Journalism.
Right. Journalism.
He is essentially what a Bob Rathbun would have been to a FanDuel network.
Okay.
He was a guy that was doing play-by-play and some studio work for a long time. Now he does his own video podcast. And he went on a rant, which I'll let you hear coming up in Yeah Man, No Man, about he has multiple inside sources reporting that the Browns are interested in Dak.
Well, we were doing the numbers, and that's why people, as Carl said, threw cold water on this. The cap hit for the Cowboys, if you move Dak off the roster, is like $98 million. Okay, so I'm glad that somebody can do the Browns have got $18 million in cap space, and if we structure eight guys, we can have room for everybody. Yeah, but the Cowboys will never sign off on this because they'll be dead in the water forever. So, I mean, I always love a guy who's looking for some clickbait. But, I mean, like, do the math, Sparky, before you go out, you know, half-cocked.
Well, this is also the conspiracy theorist out there working. Follow me. The Browns trade for Dak. The Cowboys draft Shador. The Cowboys then hire Deion Sanders as their new head coach. Wait a minute. They've got a head coach. This makes no sense. Yeah. The theorist, the conspiracy theorist out there are already connecting the dots and doing all this stuff, and you're going, wait a minute. They just hired a head coach. What are you talking about? You're talking about next year?
And like, and as no matter how bad Brian Schottenheimer may or may not be, Jerry doesn't fire guys with years left on their contract.
No.
If you go back and look at all the years other coaches were way, way beyond when they should have been there.
Jason Garrett, prime
example. Jason
Garrett,
I was going to say, and certainly Mike McCarthy that last year after that humiliating loss to Green Bay 2 years ago. So, yeah, it's a guy started, and then it got all the way to our audience. We're like, well, there you go. Like, It's no way in God's green earth that makes any sense.
All right. Can't wait to hear what Chris's audio is here coming up. Stay tuned. He's going to dive more into that. Also, in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll let you hear more from Kirby. Joe Patrick's going to join us to talk Falcons and Atlanta United. We got a lot more going on, man. Glad you're here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to talk more about what's going on with Kirby Smart in the program. In Athens, Kirby talking about spring and what's happening and also, you know, the bottom, the middle of the roster, all the things he's focused on. And we'll let you hear what he had to say coming up at 4 o'clock. Also in the 6 o'clock hour, John Smoltz is going to stop by to talk some Braves with us. We love Smoltz. And obviously, Mike, a lot to discuss as the season gets underway tomorrow. I just want us to get off to a fast start. But that gets back to this Acuna thing we were talking about and guys hitting us up. What do you mean it's going to be another month? Look, I'm just telling you that's a reality. If he's back before then, great.
Right.
But they're not giving us any indication that this is going to happen any sooner. And so as the season gets underway, it's not, hey, 10 days, 14 days. It's, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you knew about and look, they play it close to the vest, and they were kind of saying the same thing. We were slow rolling to May about Strider. Then Strider comes up and looks gangbusters. So maybe, hopefully, we were misreading the Braves' communications. And then, yes, Acuna will be on the same kind of fast track. But you haven't heard anything.
No, not at all. All right, man, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on today, my man?
Yeah, you guys were alluding to it at the end of the last segment. Over 1.2 million views on this video right now. And a lot of us are asking, who the blank is Bruce Drennan?
Who the blank is Bruce Drennan?
Wait a minute. You know, I'm a legend in Cleveland, and I don't know who you are. What's your name, Turtle? Bruce Drennan is a legend in the land.
Who is Bruce Drennan?
Yeah, Carl, I think you and I had a coffee once. You when you're covering the covering the show for ESPN. I think it was you and me and Tom Berizer.
Oh wow!
Yeah, we had a hoagie together.
Yeah, I remember.
Who am
that.
I? Bruce Drennan. What's my name again?
Bruce Drennan.
You don't put Bruce Drennan in a corner. Bruce Drennan knows what's going on. I've got the pulse of the Browns.
Well, he certainly.
You know, just the other day I was coming across some photos. I was hanging out with my good friend from the Cleveland Dispatch, Wink Dinkerson.
Wink!
And it was a great photo of me with Earl Woods back. It was at Medina, and of course at the U.S. Open.
Is that the picture you showed me when we had coffee? You carried that with you in your wallet.
And I said, Earl, what are you going to have? He said, just got to have the ticker. Got to be careful. I had fish tacos with Earl Woods.
I heard you on Bernie Kosar threw some rangers back in the day.
Let me tell you, I turned Bernie onto kamikazes. Whoa, big mistake for Bruce Drennan. Guy drinks like a fish.
Who is Bruce Drennan?
Well, I'll tell you. He is formerly of the equivalent of FanDuel Sports that hosts the Hawks.
Cleveland legend here. Bruce Drennan.
Yes. Okay. So think of your Bob Rathbun.
Bob is, he doesn't break stories or trying to break stories. Do not put Bob's name into this.
Hold on. 1 second
it'll
here.
Get back to me.
Time
and
out.
Somehow it happened on this show.
Time out.
Bob doesn't do those things.
Don't lump me in with Bruce Drennan. Okay.
That's right.
Bruce Drennan is a raving maniac. Okay. I remember one time there was a play-by-play convention in San Diego. He says, "Hey, let's go down to Tijuana." I said, Rathman wants no part of that. And sure enough, what do you think happens? He gets behind the wheel. We wake up, knocked out cold, in his Chrysler Cordoba, some Mexican kid playing with my feet.
What?
That's right. That's Bruce Drennan. He's totally irresponsible. Rathman would have nothing to do with him.
Leave Bob's name out of this.
I was just giving
Bruce Drennan, get Bob Rathman's mouth out of your name out of your mouth.
I was just giving the listeners, Carl, a reference point. That's all.
Isn't that right? I don't need that smoke.
So isn't that right, Stinger? Dredd is a mess, Bob.
Anywho, this was his report on his now YouTube show that he does. He is no longer affiliated with FanDuel Sports.
Who's that sponsored by the way, Bruce?
Bruce Drennan, it is sponsored by Tri-State Mowers. Again, whether you're in Indiana, Ohio, or Michigan, and you need a quality mower, Tri-State Mowers.
It's actually sponsored by Mentor Nissan. I'm looking at it right
Mentor
now.
Nissan, where they're dealing bad credit, no credit. Remember, Mentor Nissan, from Erie all the way down to the Cuyahoga. Make sure your Nissan is a mentor.
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. All right, let's play the clip here.
Get ready for this one.
Wait, start it over, start it over. That right there just killed us. That's what we were making fun of. That right there.
All right, guys, hold on to your socks and pull.
Go ahead.
Get ready for this one. I got a pretty darn good source within the Browns organization. I heard since our last show... Part of the reason Myles Garrett was so willing to sign this extension for contract, yeah, money. The Browns are negotiating as we speak with the Dallas Cowboys for a trade for Dak Prescott. And Garrett got all giddy about it. Why, I don't know. We're not going anywhere with Prescott, even if they pull it off. Newsom's part of it, and draft picks.
My God, he's Midwestern Fricky.
Get
ready for this one. Now, Dallas would, of course, absorb an $89 million dead cap hit by trading him. But they're all excited about this, Carl. They're all in.
There is a financial consequence to all of these moves. It makes no financial sense. Even if the rumor is juicy and wait for this.
Get ready for this one.
That, right.
This is a big
that
one.
Right there.
Ohio fans, this is going to blow your mind. I've got good insight from a number of folks who work at the Browns. I spoke with Vinny, who sells hot dogs in Section 340, and he says it is imminent.
This is this one. Yeah, that's the best part.
That's how we start off all breaking news now at this station.
Of course.
Get ready for
Get ready for this one.
Chris, is there anything to this with, what's the guy's name again?
How can you forget Bruce Drennan?
Oh, Bruce Drennan. Is there anything to this?
40 years as the sports breaking news man of Cleveland.
Get ready for this. Is there anything to this?
It's not financially possible.
It's not.
It's just not. I don't know what planet he's living on, but here on Earth, to absorb a $100 million dead cap hit is not possible.
Now, according to Over the Cap, to Chris's point, despite Bruce's tremendous insight on this one,
get ready for this one.
A cap hit of, is an additional cap hit of $95.3 million if the Cowboys trade Prescott pre-June 1. His cap hit for the 2025 season would be $148 million. They would save $2 million if they did it post-June 1, bringing it down to $146 million.
Get ready for this one.
Like, you literally couldn't field the team if you did that. You wouldn't be able to field a 53-man roster.
Oh, my goodness.
It would have to be like the replacements all over again.
Coming up later, I've got something that's going to blow your mind, Carl. The Maple Leafs are moving to Cleveland. I've got a good source on this.
There you go.
Bruce was the guy who broke the news of the Cleveland football team coming back to Cleveland, actually, guys. Yes.
Thank you.
Art.
Thank you. Art Modell had me kicked out of the facility once, Carl.
Yeah.
He never liked the cut of my gym.
Look. Anything is possible, right? When you start talking about, I always talk about this. This is why I don't discuss the cap like in depth, because it's maneuverable. But some things aren't. And when you're talking about a deal like this, it's a blockbuster deal.
Right.
There's no way you can maneuver.
Get ready for this one.
All right. I think now.
That you can maneuver the hit.
Right. We just gave you the number. Like, heretofore, we have breaking news. I think we need to hear Bruce Trenner.
No, that's it.
Get ready for this
one. From now on, that's where we are. That's where we are.
All right, I'm sure.
I've got a really good source. The way he winds it up. Can I hear it one more time? Can I hear one more?
I got a pretty darn good source.
Pretty good. Pretty darn good source.
Pretty good darn source. A pretty good darn source on it.
I know. All right, man. That made my day right there. Yes, Bruce. That made my day. Thank you, Turtle, by the way. Yes. Keep Bob's name out of your mouth.
I got this information from Sam Ritigliano's niece.
All right, go ahead.
All right. So I know Mike will have more on this in Guy Talk. Gary Danielson is going to hang it up. This is going to be his last year as the lead play-by-play guy.
How long has he been doing it?
35 seasons.
Okay.
How about that?
That's incredible.
So obviously, you know, we'll get him on in the coming weeks and months to talk about it. But I'll let Mike handle that side of it.
By the way, I just Googled that Sam Ritigliano is still alive. Now, for guys who are in their 20s, you have no idea. He was the head coach of the cardiac kid, famous Cleveland Browns with Brian Sipe. That was in the late 70s, early 80s back in the day. Yeah. Back to you, Chris.
Maniac.
Sorry about that.
But some other news coming out of it is they have already named his replacement.
Oh.
Which will be Charles Davis.
Wow.
Our man CD.
Yeah, which I think is a great hire.
Yeah, he's coming up.
But then that leaves another blank space in the booth to do play-by-play for NFL on CBS. They've also...
You mean color.
Color commentary.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. To do color commentary.
Yes.
That they also already announced that replacement.
Who?
And it's going to be...
It's not Matt Ryan. I wish it was.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to come out of studio.
Yeah.
So they got too many guys in that CBS studios.
They do.
I think, Carl, maybe you agree, or I think you do. If you get Matt Ryan, that color commentary kid, you can really, he's got great analysis. His personality comes out. You can't get his, and Matt does have a personality.
Yes,
you just
don't
get it when you're talking like 10-second sound bites with eight guys on a set.
I think J.J. Watt has a lot of potential, but I don't know. If based on what I've seen from him in the media so far, that he seems like a guy that could be a booth.
But maybe they let him bring. Maybe they. But again, it's your chance to shine. You get more time to talk and let him rip. You know, if they do those camps and you know it was really good. And he became. Remember, he was a GM and he was terrible. Was Matt Millen? Remember when Matt Millen was loose and fun?
He was good.
Kind of like a poor man's John Madden.
He was
for a
terrible
while.
GM, but he was a very good guy in the booth.
That's right.
Yes.
Speaking of things you might want to listen to or view. I know LeBron was all over ESPN today. We'll get to that at some point. But under the radar, it was announced that he's bringing back his podcast.
Oh.
And now.
With his head coach?
No. Get this. I actually like this. I'm curious to hear what you guys think.
All right.
He's going to be chatting it up with every week former MVP, two-time, Steve Nash, who is one of the brightest minds to ever play the game.
He is.
I don't know if he's going to be entertaining, which is half the job, as we know. But they're going to be breaking it down. And if you listen to Mind the Game when it was LeBron and JJ,
it was good.
That was a very good podcast.
It was good.
They had good chemistry, and you could see why.
Well, that's why he became his coach.
Yeah, why LeBron wanted him to be the coach.
Right.
But if he's able to replicate that with Steve Nash, I think it could be a pretty good situation. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Look, Steve Nash, I mean, he's had moments where he's just shown up at a park. I mean, this is all out there.
Right.
and people didn't know who he was, and Steve Nash is killing people in the park, right? Just, you know, and you don't realize how good he was. We can debate, and I know Shaq and the guys have on TNT about, you know, two-time MVP. Steve Nash was very good, though. And I agree with you about his basketball knowledge, and if they're going to do what he attempted to do with JJ, that's a perfect fit for that. Mm. But I got to hear it. I mean, I got to hear and see what it sounds like. But that's interesting because I know J.J. Redick was like, I cannot be the coach and do a podcast with you. Like, we
it's too much.
Yeah, we just can't do
it. It's too weird. By the way, did you know, everyone thinks of him as Canadian. Do you know where he was born, Steve Nash?
No, he's not Canadian?
South Africa.
Oh, really?
I didn't, again.
No, I did not know.
It's
got to
be
that.
True. It's in Wikipedia.
Yeah,
you know, it's got to be true. Bruce Drennan told me.
I thought he was Canadian.
Yeah, he is Canadian. But he was actually born
for this one.
He was born actually in Johannesburg.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I remember when he was introduced. I was living back in New Jersey still as the Nets head coach for that very brief period of time.
Yeah, he got screwed there, by the
way.
Totally.
He was always a big fan of soccer.
Yes.
So
right.
I guess that makes sense based on
or rugby. Right.
Rugby as well. All right, real quick. Do you believe what Jimmy Butler said last night about Pat Riley?
What did he say?
If you missed it, he said, Pat Riley better say nothing to me, and I got nothing to say to him. They made two finals runs in his 5.5 years there.
Right.
And he makes a mess out of everything, as we know, before he leaves. Like, why the animosity? I don't understand.
How weird did it get? I mean, what did he want? Another contract? I mean,
yes.
Is that different?
Yeah.
Basically, he wanted to stay. He loved playing in Miami. But and that maybe explains why he trashed the rental house once you know the deal was going south. But it is weird that Pat Riley, you know, like he respects a tough guy, but I think Pat Riley reached a breaking point with him. And that's that. Like any negotiation, I think if you push it too far, you get beyond the line. But then didn't Riley make the 11th hour, like try to get him to do something to stay? And that's when he actually talked about, hey, you know, your dad, I lost my dad. There's, you know, life's too short. And then Jimmy Butler turns around and goes public with that, which is something that was said in confidence.
So I'm assuming they didn't speak last night, obviously. That would have probably gotten out there. Look, I don't know ultimately what took place. It's enough where Pat Riley's not talking about it. But you have to think about through Riley's career, and he's one of the best executives, right? There's Jerry West. There's Red Auerbach. There's Pat Riley. Like, you're talking about one of the best to ever do it, and all the personalities, Mike, he's had to deal with in his career. And Jimmy Butler's just another dude to Pat Riley. He's won multiple championships. Guys, he played on a Kentucky team that lost to the first all-black starting five in college basketball. Pat Riley's had an incredible career when you talk about the history and connectivity to basketball. And now at this age, you think he gives a damn about this? Like, ultimately, he wanted him. But Jimmy, talking all this craziness, man, I don't, you know, it doesn't do anything for him. He got his deal. He's in Golden State. But I do not believe that, you know, this is a good situation for Jimmy. As far as, like, you're asking if I believe him, like, he's got this thing against Pat Riley. Whatever it is, Pat Riley, I'm sure he's moved on. And they'll retool the Heat, as he's done so many times before. Pat Riley was the reason why the Big Three went down there to begin with. It was not D-Wade. It was Pat Riley's convincing Bosch and obviously LeBron to come down there, and we know how that went.
All right, Big O, get ready for this one and hit my music.
Don't forget, convincing Shaq to come to Miami too with D. Wade.
Correct. Yes, that is correct. He's been incredible, man. He's had an unbelievable career.
By the way, is this where you and I are going to be in 20 years? Are we going to be Bruce Drennan? Maybe we're kicking it in Florida or wherever.
I don't know.
We're
going
to be like, I got some, guys, get ready for this. I hear the Braves are going to trade Ronald Acuna Jr.
Well, you know what? I mean, look, obviously he's getting some love out of this, and this is not true. It cannot be true. Mike, maybe this will be us. How long from now? 20, you said? 20?
Yeah, I mean, he's 74.
Is that how old he is?
Yeah, according to, again, Wikipedia.
Yeah.
All former Major League Baseball announcer, NBA personality.
Yeah. All right, man. Coming up.
Browns insider.
We're going to hear from Kirby Smart. He has to be extra tough on this year's incoming class to keep up the standard. We're going to explain why next.
Get ready for this one. I got it.